Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Epic. If you are new with us, my name's Trent. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. I would love to meet you after the service. I'll be in the lobby. Just come up and let me know you're new. I'd love to welcome you to our church family. Now, as we begin today, how many movie lovers do we have here? All right, hold your hand up real high if you're a movie lover. All right, what are some of your favorite movies?
Top Gun.
Top Gun. I didn't understand that. Goonies, yes, that's a good one. On Golden Pond. Did someone say Braveheart? All right, we're done. That's it. That's all we needed. Thank you, Dave. That's it. That's it. Best movies ever made. So we're all good. So we all have a movie that we love. And in all the movies that we love, there are soundtracks to each movie. Soundtracks that help to communicate the message of the movie. And I don't know if you've ever spent any time recognizing the soundtracks in your movies and the impact that they play on the movie, but music is powerful to movies and it can change the feel of a movie. It can change how we feel personally as we watch that movie. And there's all kinds of different music. There's playful music. There's suspenseful music, dramatic music. And again, it all helps to tell the story of the movie. So to help illustrate that, we have a short video clip I want you to watch. It's a wildlife video clip. And we're going to play it over three times with three different types of music. So I really encourage you to pay close attention to how you feel as you watch each clip and as you listen to each type of music. So take a look at this. All right, did you feel the difference that each of those different clips made you feel based upon the music? So music is powerful. Again, it communicates a message. It helps us to feel certain ways. Now, I tell you that because I think we all have a soundtrack just playing just beneath the surface of our lives. And some of the songs in that soundtrack are encouraging, they're positive, they're good, they remind us of good moments in our lives, and they make us feel good about those moments. But there are other songs in the soundtracks of our lives that are negative. They're bad songs. They remind us of painful moments in our lives, and often they can keep us stuck in life in places that we don't want to be. Listening to things that we don't want to listen to. If you were with us last week, I told you one of the negative broken soundtracks that I have listened to in my life is that I'm not good enough. So that's a soundtrack that I've heard for many years in my life. There's another one that I hear somewhat consistently, and it's the soundtrack that I'm a failure. So I hear too often in just the background of my life that I'm a failure, that I'm a failure as a pastor, I'm a failure as a leader, I'm a failure as a father, I'm a failure as a husband, I'm a failure as a friend, like you name it, then I can feel like I'm a failure at it. And it's interesting because that soundtrack just plays quietly in my life in the background until I perceive a failure. Or I think of a past failure. And then in those moments, when I feel like I've failed at something, I feel like I've let somebody down, then all of a sudden, that soundtrack gets turned up to full volume and it's all I can hear. You're a failure. You might be amazed at how often I hear that. You may not be amazed, like I said last week, at how often I hear that, because just maybe you have your own negative soundtrack that you listen to too long and too often, and it's way too loud in your life. So I'm curious, how many of you have heard the soundtrack of failure for too long in your life? Anybody else besides me? Okay, a number of us. We all have a broken soundtrack that we listen to, but God doesn't want us to listen to anymore. He wants us to turn that down, and he wants us to turn up a new soundtrack. So that's what we're going to talk about today and how to do that. So for those of you who are new, today we're in part two of a series called Soundtracks. And in this series, what we're learning is how do we turn down those negative soundtracks that we've been listening to for far too long? How do we turn up the soundtracks that God wants us to listen to? And we've been doing that through the book of Psalms. So if you're not familiar with Psalms, it is an Old Testament book in the Bible that is a collection of writings. It's a collection of songs, of poems, of declarations, of prayers that the people of Israel would sing and pray before God. And it was really the only music that the people of Israel would listen to. And the Psalms are filled with raw emotion, deep pain and struggle, and filled with God's truth of who he is and how he sees us and what he thinks about us. And so last week, as we started this series, we started by looking at Psalms 46. And anybody remember what we were supposed to do based on Psalms 46, specifically verse 10 from last week?
Read it every
day. So read it every day. That's a great one. What else? Pop quiz. You didn't even know there was going to be a pop quiz today, right? Thank you. Yes, be still and know that I'm God. So God did not say, be busy and know that I'm God. He didn't say, doom scroll on your phone and know that I'm God. He said, be still. Being still is hard. I hope you were able to practice being still this past week, because that's when we begin to understand that God is in control and that we can trust him with everything. So today, we're gonna explore Psalms 51 and Psalms 32, both written by the same person, written by King David. And he's the second king of the nation of Israel. And there's an amazing backstory to these two Psalms. And they are written in response to some terrible decisions that David made in his life, some decisions of failure that he carried throughout his life. And so the first terrible decision that David made was, there was a time when all of his men were off at war, and he should have been at war with them, but he wasn't. He stayed at home. When he stayed at home, he saw a beautiful woman that he decided he wanted to have an affair with. And so he asked one of his members of his staff, go get that woman. I want to have an affair with her. He had an affair with that woman. And that woman happened to be married to one of his loyal military leaders. When she became pregnant, he ordered for that loyal military leader to be executed in battle so he could cover up his sin. That's David. Scripture calls him a man after God's own heart. And he went to that level to try to cover up his sin. And then he kind of ignored it for a year. For a year, he acted like he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't acknowledge it. He didn't deal with it. He just kind of ignored it until God confronted him through a man named Nathan. And Nathan the prophet, he came into David's court and he told him this story, and he crafted this word picture story and said, David, I got to tell you this story about a guy that has all these sheep, and there's a poor guy who only has one sheep. It's like a baby lamb for him. It's like a member of the family. And yet this rich guy's got all these sheep, and he has somebody come visit him. And so instead of sacrificing one of his own sheep, he takes the sheep of this poor man who has one sheep. He sacrifices it and he offers it to his guest. And David gets furious. He's like, that man's gonna pay for this. He's gonna pay four times for the damage that he's created. And Nathan says, it's just this iconic line from that passage. He says, David, you are that man. You're the man who stole from another man and shouldn't have done that. David's deeply broken at that moment. It's been a year, but he's finally broken, sorrowful about what he has done. And he begins a journey with God of forgiveness. And if you've never read that story before, I encourage you to read it. You can read it from 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 12, or chapter 11 and chapter 12 later today this week. There's a whole lot more to it than what I just shared there, but it's a powerful story. But listen to what David wrote to God in Psalms 51 about his sin. So after his conversation with Nathan. Verse 1, he said, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. That's what sin does. It haunts us. It reminds us of our failures. It makes us look back in our lives with regret, with shame, with sorrow. And I wonder if you have some sin that's been haunting you for a long time. If so, keep listening. In verse 3, David said, "For I recognize my rebellion." I think the first step towards receiving God's forgiveness and being free from those moments of failure and turning down that soundtrack of failure that we listen to far too often is to actually admit what we've done. Recognize our rebellion. Recognize our sin in that moment. If we don't recognize it, we can't get help for it. We have to recognize it. We have to admit it to God and admit it to ourselves. We can't deny it. We can't minimize it. We can't hide it. We can't blame it on other people. We have to recognize it. David said in verse 4, against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. And you will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. So David admitted to himself and to God that he had sinned and that he was a sinner. Now, as fun as that sounds, how many of you want to do that? How many of you want to admit to yourself and to God, God, I have sinned. I am a sinner. Like, I don't want to admit that. Why? Because it reminds me of my failure. Like, I don't want to be reminded of my failure. And so to avoid feeling like a failure, many times we hide from our sin. But hidden sin doesn't heal. It grows. It haunts us. It reminds us over and over again that we have messed up. And the longer we hide from it, the more power it gets over us. So in verse 6, David said that God desires honesty. Again, he desires an honest admission about what we've done. And who is the honesty for? You can answer out loud. It's for us. It's not for God. God's not sitting there going like, oh, you were deceiving me around that? Like, are you kidding me? God knows. The honesty is for us. God, I see what you see. I admit what I've done, and I see it the way you see it. It was wrong, and I want to honestly admit that to you. In verse 7, David begged God to purify me from my sin, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sin. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. So that's a powerful prayer there as David is talking to God. But what I think, if we're not careful, we can take a prayer like that and we can actually stay stuck in that prayer and not really receive the forgiveness from God that we need. Because I think that prayer can lean towards a remorseful prayer, but not a repentant prayer. And a remorseful prayer is when we say, God, like, I've messed up. Like, I admit it, I've messed up, or I've messed up again. I'm stuck. God, free me from this. God, just take it away from me. And remorse can say, I feel bad about what I've done, but I don't know how to change what I've done. I don't know how to become a new person. So we can feel bad about our sin and not let God change us. And we can stay stuck in our sin. So this is how I think it works for many of us. It works this way sometimes in my life, and maybe it works this way sometimes in your life. But when we sin, we feel bad about it. Sometimes we avoid God for a while. We think he's disappointed in us. He doesn't wanna be around us. We fear, like David, that he has banished us from his presence. Like we mess up, God's like, I don't wanna be around you. Like, go clean up your life. And so we go try to clean up our lives a little bit. And then when we feel like we have, like we've cleaned up our life for a day, a week, a month, whatever, then sometimes we feel like we can crawl back into God's presence, getting his approval again. And then we pray again, God, would you forgive me? Would you accept me? Until we mess up again. And guess what? The cycle starts all over again. And I'm curious, anybody familiar with that cycle? Anybody ever experienced that before? Okay, many of us have experienced that before. It's a common cycle for many of us. It keeps us stuck in our failure, stuck in our sin. And then there are moments that we go the opposite direction. We go, you know what? God, I'm tired of praying this. So I've messed up. I might as well really mess up. And you would never do that. No, you would never do that. But many people have done that. I've done that in my life. Like, okay, like I've already broken my relationship with God. I might as well really break it. Here I am. And we stay stuck in sin without moving free from it, allowing God to change us. But so the problem with that approach is it doesn't actually free us. Again, it just keeps us stuck. We need help to receive God's forgiveness. So that approach makes forgiveness about us and what we do, as opposed to what God can do in us and through us when we let him work in us. So forgiveness isn't something we earn. It's something we receive. Forgiveness is not something we earn. It's something we receive. Listen to the words that David used in Psalms 51 to describe that. He says in verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God. Blot out the stain of my sin." Verse 2, "God, wash me and purify me." Verse 7, he reverses that. "God, purify me and wash me." Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, renew me." Verse 12, "Restore me." Verse 14, "Forgive me." All that work is work that God does in us when we come to him after we've messed up. That's what God does in us. He's the one that cleans us. So instead of saying, "Hey, I am so disappointed in you." This is from God. "I'm so disappointed in you. Now you go figure out how to clean up your life. And when you figure that out, then you can come back to me." God doesn't say that. He says, "When you've messed up, come to me. I'll help you clean it up. I'll help clean up the mess that you created. I love you and I'll work in you to clean you up, but you've got to come to me first." So we need God's help to be washed, to be cleaned, to be purified, to be renewed, to be restored, and to be forgiven. Verse 10, David asked God to create in me a clean heart. He wasn't asking God to help him do a little better. "God, if you would just give me like a 1% increase in my, you know, sin to perfection ratio, that would be great. Or God, if you just help me do 10% better in my life." David says, "God, create in me a clean heart, a new heart, a renewed heart. Like I need something completely different. I need you to change me from the inside out." And then David wraps up Psalms 51 in a real unique way with another key step in this process of receiving God's forgiveness. In verse 12, again, he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you." In verse 16, he says, "For you do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one." You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a what? A broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O Lord. So I think verse 17 is the key to receiving God's forgiveness. It's that broken, repentant heart. Again, there's a difference between a remorseful prayer and a repentant prayer. A remorseful prayer again says, God, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad, but I'm probably going to stay stuck. And you're probably going to hear me again tomorrow or next week or next month when I pray this prayer all over again. A repentant prayer says, God, I am broken by me. I'm broken by my sin. I need you to change me. And I repent from my sin. That means I'm turning from my sin. Like, I don't want to keep doing that over and over and over again. So I'm going to turn from that. I need your help to make me a new person, to create in me a clean heart and a renewed spirit. So like I said, the first step to turning down the soundtrack of failure is being honest with God and ourselves about our sin. We need an honest, broken, repentant heart and God's help to change. The next step is to receive God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. Again, it's about honesty. You just have to be honest about what we've done and where we're at. Verse 9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness or all unrighteousness or all ways that don't honor God. So when we confess our sin to God with a broken, repentant heart, God forgives us and makes us clean. Listen to what else God does with our sin when we confess it to him. Psalms 103, verse 12 says, God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Colossians 2:14 says, God canceled our sin debt by nailing it to the cross. Isaiah 43:25 says, God erases our sin and forgets it. Anybody excited about any of those things that God does with our sin? That was the wonderful golf clap right there. That was really great. That was really great. So we need to be excited about that. One of the things I love about God is he has a big eraser and a bad memory. I've used several of God's erasers, I think, in my life. So when we come to God and confess our sin, he whips out the big eraser and he erases it from our sin record. And here's the interesting thing. When we're having a conversation with God about our sin, sometimes we have this repetitive conversation with him where we're asking him to forgive us again for something he's already forgiven us about. So it goes a little bit like this. God, would you forgive me again for that thing I did 20 years ago? Like, I am so grieved that I made that choice 20 years ago. And I think in response, sometimes God says, once we've confessed that, if we've genuinely confessed that through a broken, repentant heart, I think God says, what are you talking about? What sin? You remember I used my eraser. I erased it. I have no recollection of what you're talking about. And yet sometimes we keep bringing up stuff to God that he's already forgiven and forgotten. So we need to learn not to do that. We need to learn to believe that God has promised to forgive us, to clean us, to remove our sin, erase it, forget about it. And we need to believe and receive that. So we need to believe what Romans 8:1 says. At the end of Romans 7, the Apostle Paul says, listen, I don't understand me. The stuff I don't want to do, that's the stuff I do. The stuff I wish I did, I don't do that stuff. Like, who can save me from me? I'm a wretched person. And then he says, I thank God the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Romans 8:1, he says, so now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, God does not condemn you. Why would you condemn yourself? There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, let's listen to how David responds to God's forgiveness in Psalms 32. In verse 1, he said, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. That's another thing that sin does to us. It weighs heavy on us. It causes physical problems and emotional pain. But again, listen to what else happens when we confess our sin. Verse 5, David says, finally, I confess all my sins to you and stop trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. And all my guilt is where?
Gone.
All my guilt is gone. So if you've confessed sin to God from a broken, repentant heart, you can be certain that God has forgiven you, erased that sin, and forgotten about it. So answer this. If God erases our sin, forgets about it, removes it, our confessed sin to him, then why do we let those sins still haunt us like we've not been forgiven? Why would we do that? Why would we keep carrying guilt and shame from something that doesn't exist in God's mind? When he looks at us, he doesn't see that stuff. When we've genuinely confessed that to him. In verse 6, David said, therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment, for you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. Verse 8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. But get this in verse 9, do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Anybody ever been a senseless horse or mule in your life besides me? I have. In verse 10, he says, many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. So how is David able to shout for joy after he had an affair? After he had one of his loyal military leaders executed so he could cover up his sin. How was he able to do that? Because he admitted his sin to God. He was honest about it from a broken and repentant heart, and he received God's forgiveness. I can't say that that's a super easy thing to do. I don't think it was super easy for David to do that, and it's not super easy for us either, but we have to believe that God is a forgiving God and that he does what he promises when it comes to 1 John 1:9. He cleans us and he takes away that sin. So if we want to experience freedom from sin, from guilt, if we want to turn down the soundtrack of our failure and turn up the soundtrack of God's forgiveness, we have to believe that God is a forgiving God and he makes us clean when we come to him. So I think the way that we do that is by believing God's truth over Satan's lies. And I don't know what you believe about Satan. There's all kinds of weird thoughts about Satan. Some people think that he doesn't exist. Other people think he runs around in red tights and pokes people with a pitchfork or something. But scripture says he's a real being and he hates us. He hates you. He hates everything about you. If you ever know somebody who worshiped him or you worshiped him in your life, guess what? He hates you. He hates everyone. And so he lies to us on a consistent basis. And so he says things to us like this. He says, you are a failure. Every time we mess up, you are a failure. But God says, you're forgiven. Satan says, God is so disappointed in you. And God says, now I love you. I sent Jesus to prove it. Satan says, you will always stay stuck in your sin. And God says, I can help you get unstuck from that if you'll come to me. Satan says, God doesn't want you around. God says, I always want you around. And so I am always with you. So anybody sick of listening to a guy that lies to you all the time? So we need to stop listening to that, turn that down, and turn up God's truth so that we can live different lives. Here's the bottom line for today. Failure may be something that you've done, but it doesn't define who you are. Failure may describe something that you've done, but it does not define who you are. God defines who you are. God created you. He defines who you are. And so to him, you are chosen, you are called, you are forgiven, you are loved, you are cherished, you are worth dying for. And if that's how God feels about you, then just maybe you and I should reconsider how we feel about ourselves. Again, failure may describe something you've done in the past, but it does not define you. Here's an interesting comparison between Psalms 51 and Psalm 32. Psalm 51 was written, I think, while David was listening to the soundtrack of his failure. Psalm 32 was written while David turned that down, and he allowed God to turn up the soundtrack of his forgiveness. And so he was able to write from a different perspective, from a perspective of joy and celebration that his sin had been forgiven. And he truly believed that in that moment. And let me be clear about a few things. Receiving God's forgiveness didn't mean that God didn't care about David's sin. It didn't mean that God came to him and said, like, it's okay you had an affair. It's okay you murdered, you know, the guy to hide your sin. That's all right. God didn't say that. Doesn't mean that we will not face consequences. David faced some consequences. He really did. But as he faced those consequences, he was honest and he was able to say to God, God, I've messed up, but with your help, I'm gonna stay right here and I'm gonna fix what I've damaged. I'm gonna fix what I've broken with your strength. And he worked on doing that. So I think it means the same thing for us. And we still may face some consequences, but when we truly understand that God has forgiven us, we can approach it by saying, like, God, like, I've messed some things up, and with your help, I'm staying right here. I'm not gonna hide anymore. I'm not gonna blame. I'm not gonna point at somebody else for bad choices I've made. I'm gonna stay right here and I'm gonna let you help me fix what I damaged. So create in me a new heart. Help me rebuild some relationships I may need to rebuild. Help me create a whole new experience around this event, this choice that I've made. I wanna make a new choice. I wanna be a new person. I think we really can do that. But we have to come to God to do that. We have to do business with him. And so as we close, we're gonna go back and we're gonna sing the final song that we sang in the opening set of our worship time called, Oh Come to the Altar. And in the Bible, the altar was a place known for when people wanted to do business with God. So it was a spot for them to come to God and say, God, like, we gotta have a deep conversation here. Like, I need your help with something. And today, what I encourage you to do is I encourage you to turn your seat into an altar, a space where you do business with God. And maybe you've had some failure that's been haunting you for a long time. Maybe it's been for many years. Maybe it's just been a few hours or a few days. But if you're in a spot like that, like, have a conversation with God today. Be honest about what you've done. Don't hide it. Don't blame it on someone else. Don't ignore it. Don't minimize it. Just be honest. God, this is me. Being honest about who I am and the choices that I've made. God, would you create in me a clean heart? I confess my sin to you. Forgive me. So have a conversation with God about turning down the soundtrack of failure and turning up the soundtrack of God's forgiveness. And I truly believe if we have that kind of a deep conversation with God, I truly believe that you and I can walk out of here different people, believing different things, because we're listening to different music that changes who we are and the story that God's writing in our lives. So if you want to dive deeper into God's forgiveness, I put some great resources on our spiritual growth challenge that can help you do that. There's a copy in the lobby before you leave. If you're watching online, there's a link in the comment section. And if you need help, if you want to talk to someone before you leave because you feel stuck, then stop by our care table before you leave. We've got some amazing people there that can help you. And if you're watching online, just email us at care@theepicchurch.com and we'll help you in any way that we can. So if you aren't a Christ follower yet, today can be the day that your sins are eternally forgiven and you become a part of God's eternal family. The day that your sins are nailed to the cross and God remembers them no more. So if you want to put your faith in Jesus today, I'm going to walk you through how you can do that as we close. So if you would, join me in prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and have a conversation with God. And as we begin praying, I'm curious to know on campus or maybe watching online, if there's anybody willing to say, you know what, I have been haunted by sin, and I've been stuck in a repetitive cycle. I've been stuck in a prayer of remorse as opposed to a prayer of repentance. And I needed to hear what God was saying to me today through this message. Anybody, if that's you, hold your hand up real high. All right, I see those hands. God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for their honesty. And God, for too long, they've been listening to a broken soundtrack, a soundtrack of failure that's kept them stuck in life. Lord, I've heard that broken soundtrack before. Many of us have. And God, you want to turn that down. You want to turn up your soundtrack of forgiveness. So Lord, I pray today for these people that they would do business with you. They would admit what they've done. They would receive your forgiveness and believe what Romans 8:1 says. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to you. As we continue praying, if there's anybody here on campus or watching online that would be willing to say, listen, I've never put my faith in Jesus. I'm not a part of his eternal family. Today can be the day. You're adopted into God's family. And so you need to have a conversation with God that goes something like this, where you say, God, I admit I'm a sinner in need of a savior. I believe that Jesus, you are that savior. And you died so I can live. And I confess my sin to you. I repent of my sin. I want to turn from my sin. And God, I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord, my Savior, and my King. If you pray that prayer today during our closing song, you will be adopted into God's eternal family. And you will, with God's help, be able to turn up the soundtrack of God's forgiveness forever. So I encourage you to take the next steps that after we sing, Derek's gonna come out with some next steps that you could take that'll help you grow in this new relationship. And I really encourage you to do that. So God, we come to the altar because we wanna do business with you. We wanna hear from you today. So we wanna be honest about ourselves and our situation. And we wanna receive your forgiveness and apply it to our lives so we can walk out of here new people. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.